Technically speaking.
Welcome to our Technically Untechnical Technology Talk.
A Nywick Atlantic production.
And an award-winning podcast with your hosts, Chelsea Holloway and Alex Jackson.
Alex, back again. So how have you been?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Good. And guess what? I'm still unplugged. I still am not on my social media apps. I deleted them about a month ago now. I can get on to my social media like via the computer, but I've done that maybe like twice in the last month. So I'm like super proud of myself. I've noticed so many good benefits, Alex. So first of all, I did it so I'd be more present with my son, my toddler, of course. But the other good stuff is I'm more social without it. Like I actually call my friends instead of just liking a post, and I'm not getting bombarded with ads. So I'm saving money because I'm not doing as much online shopping.
I'm pretty much in the same boat too. I've been really busy with other things, so I haven't had a chance to be on social media. We recently just had a disability awareness event. So for those listeners who may not know, I am in a wheelchair and am able to be able to help promote events in the community. And so we just put together an anniversary celebration for the Americans with Disabilities Act. So I haven't had time for social media either, which is probably a good thing.
Wait a second, Alex. I see your phone and I can tell it's lighting up with Facebook every minute. So I don't think you're telling the truth.
What can I say? I'm just a popular guy.
And for those of you who may not remember, that was Joe who just popped in our audio tech. Sometimes he likes to give his 2 cents, right, Joe?
That's right. I got 3 cents.
All right. So it's great to catch up. That sounds like it was an awesome event, Alex. I'm glad that you're busy with that. That's going to be a lot of fun. So woohoo. All right, so let's pivot now into today's topic. We've got a great show ahead of us. We are going to be talking about air traffic control towers. And when I think of air traffic control towers, I think of these huge structures built in one spot in an airfield. Well, no, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about mobile ones.
Coming up, we speak to Clayton Franck and James Spivey about Nywick Atlantic's work creating these towers. Then Chief Petty Officer Brian Sexty joins us for a military moment about submarine training. So let's get comfy, turn up that volume, and let's get started.
First off, we want to share with you our roundtable style chat with two brilliant engineers here at Nywick Atlantic.
They explain to us how Nywick Atlantic supports the Federal Aviation Administration by upgrading their mobile air traffic control towers. Let's take a listen.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us on this podcast. First, can we just have you guys introduce yourselves and tell us your official title here at Nywick Atlantic?
Yeah, I'm Clayton Franck. I'm the ATC Special Programs IPT lead.
And I'm Jim Spivey. I'm an electrical engineer working for Clayton, ATC Special Programs.
Wonderful.
Can you tell us a brief story of how Nywick Atlantic became involved with building mobile ATC towers?
So our history with the mobile towers is our IPT focuses and specializes on mobile transportable assets for the Air Force. So when the FAA needed to get some assets, they got word that we're building these things and approached us to start building both a large and a medium mobile asset.
Right. And that effort goes back probably as early as 2004, 2005. We work for air traffic control for the Navy. They call that SHORE, ATC. And we've done it for years and years and years. And when we went to war over in Iraq, we stood up this small group to support the Air Force and the Marine Corps. And we built many mobile air traffic control systems to support that effort.
Currently, you're working on a unique capability within these mobile ATC towers. Can you tell me a little bit about this specific project that you're working on?
Right. The current asset we're working for the FAA is a medium mobile air traffic control tower, which is a trailerized small visual facility that can be pulled onto an airfield that needs it to support as a result to weather, or it could very well be that the air traffic control facility is down for a reason or they're refurbing a system. It's a mobile asset that can provide the air traffic control systems necessary to keep the airfield up and operational and safe.
The FAA created a new division or group called the Mobile Asset Sustainment Program, and their goal is basically to be able to support, restore, and maintain any air traffic control facility in the United States. So these mobile assets were created specifically to go out and support a brick-and-mortar air traffic control tower that headband damage, is getting a refurb, or is just in op.
So having these towers in a smaller sense, so you're taking this large scale tower that most of us think of when we think of an air traffic control tower, you've made it smaller, but you have just as good capability of being able to be safe in the air and provide what pilots or whoever is using them need to maintain that safety. Is that correct?
That's correct. And the mission of a tower on an airfield is to visually guide planes to the ground and then control things on the ground. This asset is a smaller asset. It has smaller capabilities for communications, and its purpose is to provide air traffic control at smaller airfields like executive airports and, for instance, adjunct airfields on the West Coast where they would be controlling firefighting efforts.
And these can fit on a C-17, right?
Yes, they could.
So the large mobile tower that we built and completed in 2019 is a 55-foot tow-along trailer that we did get an Atlas-certified letter to go onto a C-17 to be moved into different locations. Our current medium has not had that certification as of yet, but it is smaller size, so it could go on an aircraft once it's certified.
Oh, absolutely. So I understand these towers that you're creating are used for civilian use with a partnership with the FAA, but are they beneficial to the warfighter?
Here in America, the military shares many airfields with the FAA and the civil control, the safety program controlling air traffic control in the sky. If for any reason there was an outage for a tower, you know, it's very conceivable that this medium asset could be rolled in and perform certain air traffic control functions for those towers. Certainly here in America, we could stand back up that dual element at those shared locations.
So a lot of the military sites in CONUS are using our shared assets with civilian sectors. So a lot of test and evaluation.
Just for those listening, CONUS means stateside.
Yep. Sorry. A lot of the test and evaluation and training sites and locations that the military uses do share civilian airspace. And so if a tower, civilian tower, was damaged or destroyed and the FAA moved this in, it would directly affect the military aircraft in the air at those locations.
It's not a bad thing to ensure that we have a backup. So I'm glad Niwic Atlantic is a part of that.
In fact, the systems that we were working for the FAA previously, which was, we built the three large systems for the FAA. We currently actually have one of those down at Military Airfield in Homestead that they're using to control the airfield while they're rebuilding their tower down there. It's been down there approximately a year. So that is in direct support of the warfighter.
We are now in hurricane season, and how are these towers used to track or prepare for hurricanes or any other natural disasters?
So currently we are still integrating and building the medium mobile towers. The three large mobile towers have been delivered and fielded to the FAA. They stage and position these at different locations around the country so that if a hurricane or tornado or other natural disaster takes out an airfield, the FAA is quickly able to respond and get the tower moved into that location for backup.
About how quickly can you all prepare to send one of these out to a natural disaster area?
I would estimate that you could probably get this system up and operational within 3 days.
And how does that make you all feel to be a part of this impact in helping in a time of need such as a natural disaster?
It certainly gives us some ownership in how the U.S. operates its safety in the skies.
You guys mentioned that they're being used right now with wildfires. Right?
Correct.
To help combat.
So they do get used on the West Coast quite frequently to control airfields that have been set up temporarily to support and control air traffic in those zones for dropping water on fires.
The FAA's mobile fleet is decades old. And so the systems we're building and integrating are kind of a next generation, new capability system to replace these old antiquated towers that they have.
It must make you feel so proud to know that your work and Niwic Atlantic being involved make the FAA strong against a wide range of scenarios, including natural disasters. Can you elaborate on how it makes you feel to be a part of that?
So the ATC Special Programs team, we've got a great team that's very dedicated and very humble about the work that they do. So they are a group that is going to do whatever it takes to help others out. So as an IPT lead, it is great. I have a great working relationship with the team, and I'm proud every day I go home that the team does everything they do, both for the civilian sector as well as the warfighter.
I would say that every one of our teammates are knowledgeable, but they're also mission-oriented. Many of them are former military. They understand the importance of the ATC mission. You know, where there's a need, they're going to step up. Whether you can call that proud, I think it's just mission.
It's a way of life for most of them.
Exactly.
What inspired you all to get into this field of work?
I needed a job.
I can answer a little longer. You know, I used to be a facilities engineer and actually built several towers. And it's a niche world. The people that are involved with ATC, they don't tend to move to other locations. It's very specific, 1,000 acronyms that it takes you about 2 years to learn a small portion of, right? But once you're integrated into the ATC community, you kind of stick there. In our world, it's not just ATC, it's C2 in support of the military.
And what is C2 again?
Command and control.
So my previous experience was working for NAVAIR on the F-18s, and I've always wanted to be involved in the air traffic control aircraft world in some fashion. So
why?
It's just exciting. I don't know what else to say. I thought it would be a good challenge and a good opportunity to help other people.
It is kind of important to note how special programs stood up. In Iraq and Afghanistan, we had a requirement to span the tactical air traffic control systems that the military had put in place as a result of the war. Those military systems don't last forever. So our mission initially was to put in place something that could take those control systems and elongate that mission so that the civil side could stand up and replace those systems. And that's what we've done for the last 20 plus years, actually.
Oh, wow. So most of the projects we talk about how we're helping the warfighter. And it sounds like you not only, yours went full circle. You helped the warfighter and now you're helping the civil side. And then by extension, there's always that possibility of being able to help the warfighter again. So it's very cool to see how your program and your capabilities are kind of going back and forth, full circle, basically helping everyone. That sounds exciting.
Yeah, and that's a perfect point. It's not just that we're air traffic control, sure, ATC, and as special programs. What we had to do to help the warfighter was to put those platforms into transportable facilities. Over the years, we honed those skills, even though the facility itself is not an air traffic control mission per se, but we honed our ability to put together rapidly transportable facilities. And with that experience, the FAA migrated to us to help them on their transportable facilities.
Well, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Been a pleasure.
Alex, that was such a great chat with them. Our work seems so broad, like creating these mobile towers on a smaller scale has so many effects in so many areas. They're able to provide that communication we need across the spectrum of scenarios. So go Niwik Atlantic.
It's really neat how they can help during natural disasters as well. It's imperative that they can put out this technology in a matter of days and can help in times of need.
Right. Like how they said, how they're able to communicate to get the airplanes to go over wildfires. We're able to communicate to possibly help with different scientists to study hurricanes. So all that aircraft, all that movement helped through communication with these towers. Yeah, super impressive. I loved it. I loved hearing about all of that. And now we're going to switch gears into our military moment. And we talked to Chief Sexty about his work with submarine technology and why he joined the Navy. Can you explain your role with Niwik Atlantic and what you do?
Yeah, so I do submarine C4I training. So anytime a submarine gets a new IT suite or communication suite, I go out to the submarine and give them training one-on-one, or I develop training to deliver to one of our submarine schoolhouses so that they can deliver that training for us.
And how is that important in creating information warfare solutions?
I'd say it's important because it gives firsthand knowledge to the submarine sailors so that they can use all of our information warfare equipment effectively, and then also give me feedback that I can deliver to the program offices to design and develop the next generation of information warfare equipment.
It's all pretty straightforward there. So how long have you been in the Navy?
I've been in for 18 years, getting ready to retire in two more.
That's exciting. Big plans after retirement?
Big plans is to hopefully work for Niwek Atlantic doing submarine C4I training.
Well, we'd probably be happy to have you. So that's great.
Where do you see the technology going in the next 10 to 20 years for the Navy and for the warfighter?
I think in the next 10 to 20 years, it's probably going to focus a lot more on the incorporation of AI into our information warfare systems. So I think what I would like to see is a submarine officer of the deck to say, hey, Alexa, line up this or that circuit, and the ship is configured to be able to line that up automatically, taking into account all the external factors to make that happen efficiently.
Have a little AI assistant. That'd be great.
Absolutely. And I know that you're near retirement, but what got you interested in serving in the Navy?
So what got me interested originally was that my dad was in the Navy, and he told me about how he got to travel to all these different places and do really cool stuff, and that's what I wanted to do. My plan initially was to do it for 4 years, get out, go to college, and then go do something else. But I loved it so much that I decided to make a career out of it.
Why mess up a good thing? If you're loving it, stick with it. Thank you so much for chatting with us today.
Thank you.
It was great to hear, Alex, how he would like to continue working with Niwek Atlantic after his retirement.
Yeah, who doesn't like retaining good talent?
Oh, yeah, and that's all we have is good talent here. As always, to learn more about anything we've mentioned in the podcast, check out our social medias under NavWar or our Niwek Atlantic website, and links are in the description.
That wraps up yet another episode. Thanks for listening. If you have a tip or story that you think should be included in this podcast, please contact us at our public affairs email address, which is listed in the description.
Naval Information Warfare Center Atlantic, also known as NIWC, is the East Coast branch of the Naval Information Warfare Systems Command within the Department of the Navy. We develop a range of technologies that provide state-of-the-art capabilities to the United States military.